Rabbi Waitman, thank you all for coming this morning. This past week I went to a conference in Harvard. The conference was about progressive halakha. What exactly I was doing there, I have no idea. But one of the presentations at this progressive halakha conference related to, one of the presentations was given by a woman who was a mohela, or as she calls it, she was a moyel. She said that I'm a moyel and I do all the traditional mila things, and like when she like the face of people drop, you know, a woman moyel, how could that be? She's like, what, you don't know the psukim and the Torah? Right? This coming week's parasha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to Midian, because all the people who are trying to kill you are now dead. That means that Dothan and Abiram have now died. So Moshe takes his wife and his children, he puts them on a donkey to return to Mitzrayim. Moshe takes a stick, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, look at all the things, and you should say, to Paro, B'ni B'chor Yisrael, etc., Shalachami V'yav Deini, etc. And then by Hiva Derech B'malon, apparently Moshe Rabbeinu and his family, they stop at some malon, at some inn on the way. Vayifkesheu Hashem vayivakesh hamiso. Vatikatzi porot zor. Vatikotus orlas benoch. Vatagal raglo. Vatome ki chasan damim asali. Vayirfin menu oz omra chasan damim lamulos. So this is a interesting episode, right? The Torah says that Tzipora, apparently there's something that happens. Something that happens, Vayifkesheu Hashem vayivakesh hamiso, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, wanted to kill the baby, whatever it is, and Tzipora comes and she takes a rock, right, and she does the Mila, Vatikras as Arlas Binah, etc. You see that Bakok Sherim Lamol, that you can use even a rock to do Mila, everything is wonderful. But one second, Tzipora is taking a rock and she's doing Mila, like I thought women don't do Mila. So this Mayo, this woman Mayo, said, no, no, no. You see from the psukim in the Torah that a woman can do Mila and Ad Kan Devareha. And this is not such a new found phenomenon. People before this woman were aware of the psukim, and they were aware that there's a question as to whether a woman can do Mila. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin, has a machlekes about here. Itmar, minayin the Mila, ba'obikol chavim shepsula, dora bar papa mishmei derav, amar ba'atas b'si tishmar, Rabbi Yochanan says, himol yimol. Right? How do you know that Mila is possible by a guy? So basically, they quote in the name of Rav, that it's derived from the pasuk va'atos b'si tishmar, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's from the pasuk of himol yimol, which sounds like hamol yimol, the circumcised one can do Mila, as opposed to goyim. And then the Gemara says, no, 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 goyim, everybody holds, can't do Mila, because the Mishnayos and the Dorim speak about that. If a person takes a neder, not to get hana'ah from the uncircumcised ones, even if the guy happens to be circumcised, you can't get hana'ah from that person. So you see that goyim are fundamentally not considered gemalt. So rather, the Gemara says here, let's go on. Ela ika benayu, it's four lines on the bottom of this source, for source two. Ela ika benayu isha. The nafgamina between Daru Bar Papa Mishmei Derav and Reb Yochanan is whether a woman can be a mohelet or a moyel. Lemano avatos b'si tishmar leka di isha lav bas milahi ulemano mehimol yimol ika di isha kemadam hiladamya. Zok the Gemara that if you derive like Rav does from avatos b'si tishmar, then the woman can't do mila. Isha lav bas milahi. But if you derive from himol yimol, which we read as hamol yimol, so if that's the case, a woman can do mila, because isha kemadim hila damya. A woman is ki'ilu, she's gemalt. We'll try to flesh this out in a few minutes, what this means. If you hold of atas brisi tishmar, a woman can't do mila, but if you hold of himol yimol, she can. Frekli gemar, mi'ikol amadam isha lo, v'aksiv atikach tziporet tsar. Right, frankly, Gemara, this woman's question. It says that tikatzi peretzar. So the Gemara answers, no, kribe vataka. Right? We don't read it as Vatikach, we read it as Vatachach, meaning...
What? Or Vatukach.
So in the manuscript of the Gemara, it has a Patach underneath it. JTS came out with a manuscript of Masechas Avodah Zarah, done by Shraga Abramson years ago. So I just looked at it this morning. It says Vatakach with a Patach. Frekdim Avahakse Vatichros, Kribe Vatachres. Meaning, Zakti Gemara, that's not that Zipporah herself did the cutting. Rather, Vatakach, she handed it over to somebody else. Vatachres, she handed it over to somewhere else, which means the Amr le'inish achrina va'avad. She tells someone else, and that someone else does the mila. Zosomeres, Zipporah herself didn't do the mila, Zakti Gemara. Ibayis Ema, Asi Ihi Askala, Asamoisha Va'agmara. The second Mahalakh in the Gemara is that Zipporah began the Mila and Moshe Rabbeinu completed it. So the Gemara basically says that the Psukim in this week's parasha that speak about Zipporah doing a Mila, you have to reinterpret them. And really, Vatikach is Vatakach. Either she hired somebody else, she appointed someone else to do the Mila on her behalf. Alternatively, she began it, and then Moshe Rabbeinu completed it. Ad kan divrei haGemara. Interesting. So the Gemara says that Zipporah didn't fully do the Mila. Either Moshe Rabbeinu completed it, or she appointed someone else to do it. Yes, sir.
According to that mandamar.
Right.
According to the first mandamar, said that for the first shita that said that she hired somebody else. Who put that somebody else?
Yeah, so it could be that was Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right?
Then the Gemara at the end says it's Moshe Rabbeinu, but it could be that the machlokas between the opinions is, did Moshe Rabbeinu do the entire meal or just the last little bit? It could be that's the pshat. It's unclear. But you're right. Who else could it be? There are no Jews around. Don't know. So this is the Gemara. Now, the question is, how do we understand this Gemara, and how do we paskin on this Shaila? Is a woman eligible to do Mila? So L'cha'ayra, both approaches in the Gemara, right, are going within the Manda Omar that a woman can't do Mila. Right, there's a machlokas Rav and Reb Yochanan, that Rav says a woman cannot do Mila, Reb Yochanan says a woman can do Mila. The Gemara, right, is saying within Rav that a woman can't do Mila, so we have a Shaila, what about the Psukim by Zipporah? But if you hold that a woman can do Mila, so it's pretty comprehensible, right? So what we have to figure out is what this machlokas is, how do we paskin, right? And just to kind of dissect this, so yes, we have a lot of work to do. So Tosis in source number 4. Tosis writes, Yesh lifso kerav, ve'ein isha k'shera lamol. Tosis writes that we should pass him like Rav. That Rav says that we derive from va'atas brisi tishmar, that a woman cannot do mila. Although, af agav d'rav Reb Yochanan halachik Reb Yochanan, v'ho halachik Rav, d'braisad Reb Yehuda nosei kaima kavosei. Says Tosis, even though ordinarily when there's machlokas Rav and Reb Yochanan, we pass like Reb Yochanan, but over here we'll pass him like Rav, because earlier in the Gemara, this Gemara is on Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, earlier on Chav Vav Amar Beis, there's a brisa of Reb Yehuda Hanossi. The brisa of Reb Yehuda Hanossi derives it from Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, so therefore we pass him like Rav. However, the Bahag says, Bahag pasak the isha k'shera lamol. Okay. The Bahag says a woman is kshera. So it's a machlokas, Bahag, and the Balei Hataisis, whether a woman can do Mila or not. The Rishonim seem to be more inclined to the Bahag, meaning to say, if you look in the Rambam Perek Beis of Mila writes that a woman can do Mila if there's no man around. If you look in the Rif, the last Rif in Perek, Rav Elazar de Mila, the last Russian Perek Rav Elazar de Mila, they all assume that a woman can do Mila if no man is around. That's also the opinion of the She'otos in Siman Yud. This seems to be the mainstream opinion. This is what the Mechaber Paskins like as well. And it seems like the Ramah is saying exactly the same thing as the Mechaber. And let's look at that in Siman Reis Samach Dalet Se'if Aleph. The Mechaber writes, Hakok Sherem Lomol Afil Isha Afil Ever Isha V'Katan V'Oro Yisrael Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila. Anyone can do Mila. A woman is included on the list. Ever Isha and Katan, Isha could do Mila. V'im Yesh Yisrael Gadol She'odeya Lomol Hu Kodem L'Kulan. If there's a Gadol, a Jew over Bar Mitzvah, a male Jew over Bar Mitzvah, so then he's Kodem. The Ramah writes, Yesh omrim di isha lo tamol, v'chein no hagen lahadar achar ish. The Rambam writes, Yesh omrim that a woman should not do milah, and the minig is that we try to get a man. Okay, so let's go slowly. What's the machlekes mechaber Rambam? The mechaber writes that an isha is ksheira lamol, but if you have a gadol, he should do it. The Rambam writes, isha should not do milah, and therefore, the minhag is that we try to get an ish. Is there any difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah? Right? They both seem to be saying a woman can do it if there's no man around. Right? They're starting in slightly different places. The Mechaber phrases it that a woman is kshera, but you try to get a man. The Ramah phrases it that a man is puzzle, but... That a woman is puzzle, but... Right? We try to get a man. Right, that's pretty much the same thing. It's just like a linguistic difference. Yes, sir.
No, because the Shulchan simply says that it's a heathen to have a man do it, but the woman is okay. The Ramah actually quotes a Yesh Omrim that she shouldn't do it.
But so practically speaking, is there any nafgamina between the two? L'cha'ayra, they're both saying the same thing. L'cha'ayra, they both end up in the same place, right? You're right, there's a different starting point. There's a starting point that the woman is ksheira, there's a starting point that the woman is psula. But push comes to shove, lemaisa, it's the same thing. So it's hard to know. The Shach, which I did not give you on the sheet, the Shach raises this question. The Shach says, what's the difference between the Mechaber and the Rambam? And the Shach answers that according to the Mechaber, basically, we only get a man if the man is around. If the man is not around, you don't have to get him, and the woman can do it. But the Ramah says that we're mahader achar ish, meaning we'll travel far to get a man. Right? In other words, according to the Mechaber, a woman is fundamentally ksheira lamol, like Rabbi Yochanan. The only thing is, if there's a man around, right, you're in Shnippishuk, and you have a mila to do in Shnippishuk, so then, if there's a man in Shnippishuk who could do Mila, let him do it. Right? According to the Ramah, if there's no man in Shnippishuk to do the Mila, you have to send to Aishashuk and try to get a man to do the Mila. Right? Cheino hagen lahadar achar isha. That's what the Shach suggests as the Pshat. But then the Shach writes that he thinks that this can't be the Pshat because he says... What does the Ramah mean? That the minig is that you travel to Aishashuk to get a mile. By a milsa de lo shchicha, we don't have a minig. That's what the Shach says. If it's something that doesn't happen all the time, so then minhag isn't shayach. I'm only mentioning this Shach because I was involved in writing this paper for the OU about women serving as rabbis. I don't know if people know about this. It's like, you know, not so popular. And one of the points that we make in the paper, I would say the main point that we make in the paper, is that women should not serve as rabbis because there's a long-standing minhag among Klal Yisrael that women don't serve as rabbis, and we try to buttress the fact that minhag is halachically binding, etc. Right? We quoted a number of sources to that effect. That's basically the core of the paper. So after we presented this paper, so some people said, what do you mean, minhag is binding? Milsa lo shchicha lo shayach. Minhag like the Shach writes. Right? It's not shayach. Right? Because it's not a common thing. So it seems to me that this is a misreading of the Shach, no? What's the Shach saying? The Shach is saying that's lo shchiach, that you're not going to have a man in this town, and you could send to another town and bring a man. That's lo shchiach. In other words, if you live in a community, mistam, you have a man who's a mael. It's not likely that you don't have a man. And if you don't have a man who's a mael in Shnippeshuk, it's not so mistaber that the next town over will have a man that you could drag him in. That's what the Shach says. Right? So that's what's lo shchiach. It's lo shchiach that you don't have a man who could do mila. But to say that it's lo shchiach, well, the other way, that's lo shchiach, let's say that a woman should do it, that's not the pshat in the Shach. The Shach is saying the opposite way. So their argument, I think, those who disagreed with us, I think we're arguing based on an incorrect pshat in the Shach. What we were suggesting is that there were always women throughout the generations who were learned, and nonetheless, we don't have any evidence that any of these women were ordained. As such, right, there's a long-standing minhag not to ordain women. That was the basic crux of our paper. I don't think you could say that that was lo shchiach. Right? You can't say that. Right? And to bring a raya from the Shach, nirlafi in the estaiti, that there's nothing to talk about. So that's the first nekuda that we wanted to mention. Now let's get back to Mila, because obviously all roads connect to women rabbis, but let's learn Mila.
The answer would be, let's say it's the eighth day. The question is, do you wait for a man on another day, or...
So the pashtus in the Rambah is that you would wait for a man on another day, right? The Rambah is saying that, yeah, you send to Aishashuk, you send to whichever town it is, it might take a few days, right? I think that's the... What?
As opposed to doing it on the eighth day with a woman.
Right. I think that's the pshat. And...
I don't know.
It's lo shchiach that you're not going to be able to get a man. That's all the Shach is saying. Yeah.
I'm not sure you'd be mevatel mitzvah mil bizmana. I mean, I don't know if that's what the Ramad means to say. Mitzvah mil bizmana is a specific mitzvah. I'm not sure if because of the hidur you'd be mevatel the mitzvah of mil bizmana.
Well, again, I don't know if it's a hidur. Remember, the Ramah fundamentally holds, like Rav, that Isha's psula lamo.
Well, I don't know.
The Yesham, the Isha lo tamo. The Mechaber's starting point is a woman is kshera. The Ramah's starting point is that a woman is psula. Right? B'makayim, that you can't get, right, a man to do mila, so then we'll allow a woman to do it.
Is that actually a statement of the Ramah? I don't see where it says Haggad.
The Yeshayim, yeah, so this is all
Yeshayim
the Ramah.
Is Yeshayim part of the Ramah, or is that
yeah,
part
it's
of the
Ramah. I mean, the Yeshayim in our Shulchan Aruch is in Rashi Ksav, or what they call Rashi Ksav. Yeah. Okay? Yeah, comment.
How far do you have to go to find the man? If you're in America and he's in Israel, I mean, what's the limit?
Not clear. It's not clear. I don't know. Fine. Next Nekuda. Let's just go back to the Gemara. So according to Rav, a woman is psula lamol based on ba'ata esbrisi tishmar, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, a woman is kshera lamol because of himo yimol, which we read as hamol yimol, right? And then we have the machlokes how we paskin. Now, this Gemara is a little unusual. Usually in Gemara, when you have a machlokes based on which pasuk you learn from, so the Gemara kind of throws it back at you. Gemara would say, and Rav, what do you do with himo yimol? And Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with va'ata esprisi tishmar? Over here, the Gemara kind of dead ends. Right? The Gemara doesn't give us the whole standard back and forth, which is the normal approach in Shas. Correct? Throughout Gemara, when you have a machlokes based on psukim, you have to try to figure out what does each one do with the other one's pasuk. In this Gemara, shteinisht. So that is highly intriguing, right? But for those of you like who don't understand what that means it's abisumbadna, right? So now, what's going on here? What's going on here? So nirlafi and the estaiti, that there are two distinct approaches in the Gemara. Again, the fact that I don't have makoros to do very much is because I did not prepare this year until 4 a.m. this morning. You'll have to forgive me that I don't have long makoros over here. But if you look in all those Rishonim who we quoted, right, the Ga'inim, the Bahag, and the Rif at the end of Reb Lezer Demila, and the She'otos and Simen Yud, they all say something to the effect of that according to Rav, Mila is a bris. and women are not in bris. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, since even an orel is considered a Jew, right? The Gemara says, if I make a neder that I'm not going to have hana'ah from someone who is circumcised, even an uncircumcised Jew is halachically circumcised, right? A Yisrael's kaman demhila damya. So therefore, an isha's also kaman demhila damya. Right? That's what it says in all of the Gaonic literature. Now, what does this mean? So I think that the pshat is azoi. I think the pshat is that a bris, translate the word bris.
Covenant.
Covenant. Right? Or a treaty. Right? Now, a covenant or a treaty, by definition, is something that two parties enter. Nachon? That means I'll do this, you're responsible to do that. Rav says that Mila is a bris. By bris, that means you gotta do something. An Isha is not included in the bris because she don't do anything for the Mila, no? Reb Yochanan, however, disagrees with Rav. And Reb Yochanan says that an Isha is kemandem hiladamya, she's no worse than a Jew who's an orel, meaning that Mila is not really a bris, it's not something that, right, the Rabbanu Shalom does to us if we do to him, right? It doesn't work like that. Rather, there's an idea that Jews, by definition, are gemalt. The halach is that we consider every Jew, even the Yisrael Orel, like he is Nimol, and therefore a woman is lo gora from Yisrael Orel. That's the way Reb Yochanan says it. So the Machlokas Rav and Reb Yochanan, according to the text that the Gaonim have, the Machlokas between Rav and Reb Yochanan is whether Mila is a bris. That's the Nusach that they have. Again, I probably should have printed it out, but I didn't know about it until this morning. Yeah.
What's the basis of saying that somebody who's somebody who's not an oral still can't have enough from somebody who never bris?
Again, if I make a neder, because the pasuk says ki chol hagoyim areilim v'chol Yisrael yishri lev or something, so the Gemara Nedarim says that there's a contrast, and by definition, all Yidden are considered
mulim.
Even if they're not. What? So for, it doesn't tell for Karban Pesach there are different halachas of what's considered an orel versus a nimol, but for Nedarim, right, we consider every Jew fundamentally like he is a nimol. That's clear in this Gemara here. The Gemara, four lines on the top. That's clear in the Gemara. What's the pshat? The pshat is that by definition, Jews are considered nimolim. By definition, right? The taich of the word orel, v'gam b'mnuchaso lo yishkenu areilim. An orel is a goy. A Jew is not an orel for these purposes, even if the Jew is not gemalt. Right? That's clear in the Gemara.
Sorry, so it's like even if the Jew doesn't have a bris, it's kind of as if he has a bris. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So therefore
we could say even Noshim are included, according to Yochanan, because Noshim don't have a Mila, but they're part of Klal Yisrael. And Jews, by definition, are Nimolim. That's what it says.
Jewish males.
What?
Jewish males, I would think.
Even Jewish females. All Yidden are, by definition, Nimolim. All Jews, like Goyim are called Areilim. Jews are called Nimolim. This is the way the Gaonim have the text in the Gemara. Now, our Gemara does not have this text, no? The way our Gemara has it, right? Elo ika benayu, four lines from the bottom of source 2. Ika benayu isha. Lemano ba'atas b'isi tishmar lekka, di isha lav bas milahi. Lamanu himo yimo ika the isha kiman demhila damya. Our Gemara does not say anything about bris versus not bris, and does not invoke the idea that Jews are by definition not arelim. Our Gemara just says a fundamental question: whether isha kiman demhila or whether isha lav basmila, and we don't know exactly what this means. So it comes along Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Asvin de Oraisa, Klal Yud Aleph. Rabbi Yosef Engel develops the following idea. I mean, there are slightly different ways of saying it, but Rabbi Yosef Engel invokes, you know, there's a famous Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch points out that even though Tosus asks a question, why do you need to say that a sukkah gezula is pasul because of a pasuk lecha? Right? Let's say that a sukkah gezula is pasul because it's mitzvah haba b'aveira. Right? There's a famous Tosus's question in sukkah daf tes. This is probably up there in like the top 10, lahavdil, right? The top 10 questions of Tosus, this is one of them. So is the pshat, right? Why do you need to a pasuk of lecha that a sukkah gezula is pasul? Tepuklei, based on the fact that it is mitzvah haboba avera. So the Minchas Chinuch develops an idea that mitzvah haboba avera means that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what? You're doing a mitzvah. You're doing a nice thing, but that mitzvah is tainted. That mitzvah is no good, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to throw it out. But kol zeh, that only makes sense that. It only makes sense that mitzvah ba'avera is a psul in a situation where the action itself is desired. But there are certain circumstances where the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want your action. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants you not to do the converse. No? Says the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah of sukkah, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want me to sit in the sukkah. If the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to sit in the sukkah, the Ribbono Shel Olam would say that when I eat a candy bar, I have to go to the sukkah. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't say that. Rather, what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying is don't eat bread outside of the sukkah. And therefore, a sukkah is not a mitzvah that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Sukkah is a mitzvah not to do the opposite. And therefore, mitzvah haba b'aveira would not be shayich on sukkah. That's why the Minchas Chinuch wants to answer Tosus's question. Right? Tosus again asks, why do you need l'cha? Tepuklei, that's mitzvah, tepuklei, that it is a mitzvah haba b'aveira. So Minchas Chinuch says, no, there's no din of mitzvah haba b'aveira by sukkah, because sukkah is not a mitzvah that you're supposed to do. Sukkah is a mitzvah that the Torah is saying, don't do the opposite. Right? And there is this yisod of a mitzvah that is shlilus. This is what the Minchas Chinuch develops. Yeah?
Basukos
teshvu shivas yamin. The taich of the word teshvu, says the Minchas Chinuch, is don't not sit in the sukkah. Right? Woody Allen. I don't know if I'm allowed to quote him anymore, but Woody Allen used to have a nusach that for a Jew, swimming means not drowning. So it's a very Jewish yisod. That's the pshat. Basuk is teshvu. Teshvu doesn't mean daf min zitzin. Teshvu means don't be outside the sukkah. Azay statement chaschenuch. Now, there are certain mitzvahs that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do. Other mitzvahs, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want. Right? That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want the reverse. Says the Minchas Chinuch, this is gufa, the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan with Inyan Mila. Is the pshat in Mila that it's something that the Eibishter wants from us? Or is Mila just that the Eibishter does not want me to be an Aral? The Eibishter doesn't want me to be ungemalt. No? Maybe that's the pshat. Rabbi Yochanan says that Isha commanded Mihila Damya, meaning, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, that a woman is not ungemalt. A woman is not uncircumcised. Rav says, no siree. Rav tainas that the mitzvah of Mila is a positive mitzvah. It's more like matzah than it is like sukkah. This is Rabbi Yosef Engel's Shtickel Torah. Not bad. Right? In other words, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not really arguing about the psukim. They're arguing conceptually, right, what's the nature of Mila. This is a little different than what I was saying based on the Girsa in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yosef Engel goes very far with this idea. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, for example, that when women want to do a mitzvah esesha as man grama, Ashkenazi women do mitzvah esesha as man grama all the time, and they make brachas on it. Right? That standard Ashkenazi psak. Svardim do mitzvah esesha as man grama, but they don't make brachas. So, okay, very nice. What about a mitzvah like tzitzis? Right? This has been like a controversy at some points. Can a woman wear a talis? So the Rambam writes that the minig is not to. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it's more fundamental than that. Yosef Engel says that the mitzvah of tzitzis is not that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to wear tzitzis. It's that the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want me to do farkeret of tzitzis. The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want me to have a beggar of dalat kanfis without tzitzis. Memela, tzitzis itself is not desired. It's like the minchas tinuch's sukkah. Memela, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, a woman can't make a bracha on tzitzis because... Right? You can only make a bracha if I volunteer to do something that the Eibishter wants. But volunteerism doesn't make sense if it's not something that the Eibishter wants per se. That's what Yosef Engel's yesod about the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Minchas Chinuch says this idea in terms of two types of mitzvahs with respect to kofen oso agitate nafsho. The Gemara in Ksubis writes that if someone says, I'm not going to do a mitzvah, so we hit him. We beat him up until the guy does the mitzvah. No? Kosanosa, I should take Sinash. I think the Shita Mekubetzis writes that it's ad v'lo ad b'chlal. Right? You don't kill him. But Kosanosa, I should take Sinash. You beat the guy up. Okay. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that's only true if it's a mitzvah that the action itself is desired. But if it's a mitzvah that action itself is not desired, rather, the Eibishter just wants me not to do fakert. So in that case, it won't be kofen oso, agitate nafsho. That's the Minchas Chinuch's suggestion. No, so the Varg is that we allow you, this is what's interesting within the Rabbi Yosef Engel's presentation, we allow a man to make a bracha on tzitzis because when he's in this situation, right, a man is not volunteering. Right, a man has a situational chiyuv, but a situational chiyuv is considered volunteerism with respect to a woman. Right, that's the basic idea. I think whatever. There's what to say. There's what to flesh out on this, but I think it makes somewhat a little bit of sense.
It works better because tzitzis has the concept of bitulat seif. I don't wear a
right, and we paskin be'idin rischa when the Rebbeinu Shlom is angry at us. Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes us not for. For not wearing tzitzis, etc. Now, the Yesod of the Minchas Chinuch, by the way, is very debatable. Many of the Sfarim question it, especially with respect to Sukkah. Many assume that Sukkah is not a mitzvah shlilis. Sukkah is, in fact, a mitzvah chiyuvis, but the mitzvah chiyuvis is dira. And it's considered, what I have a full obligation of doing whatever is called dira in the Sukkah. There are certain things that are not called dira. So if I don't have to be in the sukkah. Right? That's the other approach, but okay, Zosain. Right, correct. So let's go on. Let's go on in this sukkah. Yeah. In the halacha, both Mechaber and Ramah assume that a woman should not do mila if there's a man available. We're not sure exactly how far you have to go in that. Go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, within the position of Rav, that a woman can't do Mila, what happened with Tzipora? So approach one in the Gemara says, well, Amra la Acher, she told somebody else to do it. No? Karibe vatakach, vatachres. Amra la ina shachrina v'avad. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Does this imply that there's shlichus by Mila? The pashtus in the Gemara is absolutely. No? The Gemara is saying that there's shlichus by Mila. So why am I kvetching about this? It seems pretty obvious. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm kvetching. First of all, there's a famous kitzos and a famous shach and a famous rush. Right? I'm a yeshiva bacher, so I start backwards. Right? The kitzos, right, quotes a shach, the shach quotes a rush, but they all assume, this is like becoming yeshivish practice now, that if the father can do milah, he should do it himself, and he's not allowed to appoint a shaliach. I have a brother-in-law in Lakewood. I hope he's not listening to this year. I have a brother-in-law in Lakewood who insisted on doing the milah on his children by himself. The moyo sets it up, and then you just come with a scalpel and you cut it. Pinchas Katzenstein told me under no circumstances will he allow this to be done. Reb Yankev Kamenetsky apparently said that if he'd be younger, he'd make an isser on this practice, but that didn't stop it. The practice exists. The reason for the practice is that the Shach writes, based on the Russian Kisui Hadam, you see there's a halacha that if I steal your mitzvah, so I have to pay you asara zehuvim. No? That's the halacha. Let's say you have a father who doesn't want to do milah, but the father designated a shaliach to do milah on his behalf. I don't know how to do milah, so I asked Katzenstein to do it for me. This is standard practice. So let's say after I designate someone to do the milah, some guy goes, right when the baby's there ready, the guy shows up with his scalpel, runs in and cuts it off, right? Mamish like a Mysa Superman. So do you have to pay asar zehuvim? Are you stealing the mitzvah? Because I designated a shaliach to do the mitzvah for me. So it's ki'ilu, I'm doing the mitzvah, the shaliach does it. You come and you chaparain and you do the milah on your own, so maybe you're stealing the mitzvah. Says the Rush, as understood by the Shach, you know what, if you designate someone to do the milah for you and someone else runs in, there's no tashlam of asar zehuvim. You don't have to pay it. So the Shach understands that what this means is that there's no concept of shlichus by milah. And the Ktzos elaborates on this. The Ktzos and the Shach is in Choshen Mishpit Shin Pei Beis. The Ktzos elaborates on this, and the Ktzos says that the reason why you can't is because a mitzvah shebigufo lo shayach minu shlichus. There's a famous Tosis Rid. The Tosis Rid, right, is bothered by the Kasha. This is like every modern Orthodox kid would love this. Right? Maybe I can make a shaliach to wear tefillin for me. Isn't that awesome? Right? Do me a favor. You're the religious guy. Right? You wear tefillin for me. So that doesn't work. Right? Why not? The teretz is, says the Ktzos, b'shem the Tosfos Rid, because it's milsa shebegufo. Tefillin has to be on my body. If you wear tefillin for me, so it doesn't do anything. It's got to be on me. The Ktzos elaborates, or the Ktzos takes this idea a little bit further. He says, not only is the din of milsa shebegufo shayich on tefillin, not supposed to be on my body, but milah, the father is supposed to do the cut. And therefore, if the father is supposed to do the cut, you can't do the cut for him. Shlichus is not a possibility when it comes to milah. Says the Ktzos, that's called a milsa shebegufay. Right? It's something that the father has to do on his own. Now the Ktzos would seem to be against the Gemara, because the Gemara over here says that Tzipora told somebody else to do it for her. However, I don't think so, because earlier one of you on this side asked the question, who's Tzipora telling to do it? Right? Who else is there? Presumably it's Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the baby's father, so it all works out, no? In other words, I don't think you have a raya from the Gemara against the Ktzos, but the Pashtus in the Gemara, I'd say if you read the Gemara without thinking too deeply about it, the Gemara is saying, Amra la'achia, she told somebody else to do it. There was maybe someone else around. And Zatman, you see from the Gemara, that by Mila, Shlichus is Shayach, which is against the Shach's understanding of the Rush, and certainly with the Ktzos's Hesber, it is against it.
What's wrong with the case where the father, you know, the mole sets it up, the father does it? What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that case is you could maim the baby. It's a very poor idea.
according to Rashi, for example, Moshe was basically incapacitated. So I don't know how. I don't understand. I mean, I can understand. The Spirit told somebody else to do it.
So the Gemara says that Moshe is incapacitated because, like, this snake Malach is upset with Moshe because he didn't do the Mila. The second Sipari begins to do the Mila, Moshe comes back.
So that's the second answer. She started it.
Well, no. It could be that even before she started it, when she has the Hava Amina, she's thinking, oh, I'm going to do it. Again, the question is, who else is there? It is a stark akash on the Gemara, right? Umra la acher, she tells somebody else, who else is there? But bekitzer hama'aseh, I'm not sure what to do. I'd say that la halacha, no matter what we say, the approach of the ktzos and the approach of the shach, that shlichus is not shayach by mila, is not what we'd call mainstream orthodoxy. The tivu ashor, in Simen Chav Ches, in the Simen of Kislei Adam, Tvu Ashar Beferish argues on the Shach. The minig, by the way, in Europe is that people used to pass on like the Tvi Asher, right? That was the standard approach. Shochtim always would follow the Tvu Ashar all the time. That was the standard approach. They didn't assume the Nafkamin is also for Kislei Adam. Kabi Mechabed, someone else with Kislei Adam. We had a story years ago, I don't know if you remember, one time in Morish HaKolel. So we wanted to eat meat during the 9 days. So we had this fellow who had an interesting name. He shechted some chickens in the kitchen so that we would eat meat. So then, apparently this is like against code. Who would guess? Like, it's against like the health codes. You're not supposed to shecht chickens in the kitchen, the Morash HaKolel. So Zushmo Tichin Olav HaShalom came down in his bathrobe at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was like really upset. Because like we just shechted chicken and what? Abi Wahafteg. Oh, I'm sorry. Abi Wahafteg. Yeshkoyach. So Abi came down. He's like all upset. We shechted right the chicken. So we decided to mechaber him with Kisui Hadam so that we give him like an opportunity to do a mitzvah on the chicken. Then he can't be upset with us. But then the shaila was: are we allowed to be mechaber Abi with the Kisui Hadam because he didn't do the shechita? Right. It's Alam de Shoshayla, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, in Morash HaKolel, you remember this, more or less. we were crazy, I'll say it like that. Yeah?
Is there anybody who proposes that maybe you can't learn from this because it was before Matan Torah?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, there's a well-known machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi throughout all of Judaism, whether we can derive stuff from before Matan Torah. That's always a way out. But that would take away like half of Brisker Tyro. So we don't want to do that. Okay.
What's the bar mitzvah to the delegate anyway? The mother, that's the father's mitzvah, not the mother's mitzvah. So who should she delegate the shlichus in the first place?
But you're saying it's not her mitzvah at all. And so you're saying that the person who's not really mechuyev in the mitzvah, vada can make a shaliach to do it for her. That's an excellent ta'ara. Okay. So it's really no right. Very good. I like that. Yeah.
The baby
can do the mila himself.
No, the baby can do the mila. That's an important one.
I'm not following.
Well, if there's no man available, then there's a woman.
If there's no man available, then the woman does it, right?
But the baby has to be the mila.
Correct. I mean, that's what you seem to say over here. But the Gemara writes that there is a man available. She tells somebody else to do it, right? So the question that we were talking about is whether shlichus is shayach. I should point out, by the way, that there is an Urzarua that's quoted here in Reish Samach Dalet in the Darkei Moshe, and the Urzarua says you can't appoint a shaliach to do mila for you. But the Darkei Moshe disagrees and says, what's the difference? Now it happens that I just noticed this morning, and then I saw about 10 minutes ago in the footnotes to the Chuvas of the Maharach Arizarua, he pointed this out, that the Arizarua Bifnim is a little different than the way the Darkei Moshe quotes it. The Arizarua Bifnim says that Bifunov, when the father is here, he can't appoint a shaliach. The way the Ramah quotes it is that fundamentally, you can't appoint a shaliach. Because the Ramah's quoting it so that it's the same as the Shach, Ktzais, etc. But the Arzura Bifnim is saying something a little different. He's saying when the father is here, you can't appoint a shaliach. That's like a shayla in Hilchas Gittin, no?
Yeah, but
if the husband wants to give his wife a get. So you're allowed to make a shaliach when the husband is right here. Usually we only allow you to appoint a shaliach if he's nechbaz lotzeis. No, if the husband is going to go away. Sometimes the husband just doesn't want to see his wife. They're getting divorced, right? So are you allowed to make a shaliach when you're here? So you get an impression that the Or Zeruah is saying something along those lines. So b'kitzer, so far we have two shitos. One shita is that you cannot make a shaliach. That's the shach and the ktsais. The other shita is that you can make a shaliach in all cases. We have like a little bit of a wrinkle. We have this Or Zeruah who says that you can't make a shaliach b'funav, but shalom b'funav, you can make a shaliach. That's really the pshat in the Or Zeruah. Oh. Now, there's a fourth shita that's well known. The fourth shita that's well known is the Taisus Rid in Kedushin. If you remember the Gemara at the beginning of like the Bekiyas parts of Kedushin, the Chavtes, the Gemara writes that Ha'av Chai Bivno Lamolo, Leftoso, etc. So Lamolo, how do you know the father's Chai if not the mother? Zok the Gemara Oso Velo Osa. Kasher Tziva Oso Elokim Oso Velo Osa. So Frek the Bali HaTaisis, why do you need a Pusik of Oso Velo Osa? Teipuk Lei, that Mila is a Mitzvah Esei Shazman Grama, and women are not obligated in Mila, so why do you need Oso Velo Osa? So the Bali HaTaisis give one suggestion, that Mila is not a mitzvah esei shazman grama, because there's one opinion in the Gemara that Mila is ksheira b'layla, and the Gemara in Chavtes and Kedushin is going like that opinion. That's what the Bali HaTaisus say. However, the Taisus Rid has a different approach. The Taisus Rid says that a woman is not exempt from Mila because the mitzvah of Mila is really the hishtadlus to see that the child is going to be gemalt. The mitzvah of Mila is doing what it takes to make sure that the child will be circumcised. And even though women themselves have no obligation to do Mila because it's mitzvah esei shehazman grama, but when it comes to arranging that the Mila should be done, so that's not zman grama. You could arrange for the Mila to be done at night, you can make sure the Mila to be done 24/7, so therefore it's not zman grama, and women are obligated in that. Now when you think about it, that's already a very interesting idea. Because the Taisus Rid seems to be saying that the mitzvah of Mila is not that you should do a chaticha, it's not that daddy should make the cut, it's like the opposite of what the Shach and Ktzais is saying. The mitzvah is not that daddy should make the cut. Rather, the mitzvah is that daddy should make sure that the child will be cut. And mommy also has the obligation to make sure that the child will be cut. That's what the Taisus Rid says. If you look in our Taisus here, that same source number 4, the very end of our Taisus, says the same thing. Ularav de Amar Ainak Shera Lomo, Tsarf Lafarish Prepar Kama de Kedushin, the Matuk Osamalosa, the Midrash Ainakhay Slomo Bana, Hainu Lavakesh Lomahalo. Right, Taisvis, the end of source 4 says, according to Rabbi, a woman can't do Mila, so how do you understand? Why does the Gemara need the Pasuk of Osamalosa? Taisvis says, oh, you need the Pasuk to say Lavakesh Lomahalo, which is precisely what the Tosus Rid is saying. So what we have effectively are three different shitas. What's the nature of a father's obligation by Mila? The Shach assumes that you have to actually cut so much so that Shlichus is not Shayich. We have the opinion that Shlichus is Shayich, which is the opinion of the Tvu Ashar. And we also have the opinion that you don't need shlichus, because the mitzvah is just to make sure the child is cut, right? And I don't have to designate someone specifically to make sure the child is cut. Of course, according to that, we understand why there's no tashlum of asara zehuvim, because the whole yesod of the mitzvah of Mila is to make sure the child is cut, and over here the child is cut. The Or Sameach has a very interesting essay. I saw this over Shabbos. The Or Sameach has an essay in Hilchos Tumas Tzara'as, where he says the following idea. Again, why do I need the pasuk of Yisoy V'lo Yisoy? So the Or Zameya says, why are women exempt from mitzvah sesei shazma and grama? They're exempt from mitzvah sesei shazma and grama because they are meshubah to their husbands, they're meshubah to their father, right? They are not in control of their own time. So consequently, because I don't control my own time, so I'm exempt from mitzvah sesei shazma and grama. Anything that has to be done at a particular time, I can't do because I'm not the bialim over my time. Right? That's the yesod. However, says the Arisa Meriach, since a woman, or since Mila can be done with a shaliach, so it's not going to impact on your time. The reason why women are exempt from mitzvah sesei shazma and grama is because who says they'll be allowed to do it? Maybe at that moment, they won't be allowed to do it. But any mitzvah that can be done by a shaliach, says the Arisa Meriach, we don't exempt women from based on mitzvahs esei shazma and grama because just to point to shaliach, and that is how the Minchas Tinuch wants to answer Taisus's kasha. Taisus asks, why do you need a pasuk of osov lo osah to exempt women from mila? Typically, that's mitzvahs esei shazma and grama. Says the Aris HaMeach, no mila, since you can have a shaliach, so mitzvahs esei shazma and grama doesn't exempt women. Mitzvahs esei shazma and grama won't pater women from Mila, even if Mila is Zman Grama. I thought that that our Sameach is really a brilliant Mahalach. But let's just return to the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah. Approach one in the Gemara, right? Again, according to Rav, that a woman is Psula Lamola. So what happened by Tzipora? So approach one in the Gemara is that she designates someone to do her, which sounds a little bit like Shlichus, your question notwithstanding. Approach two in the Gemara is that she began the Mila, and Moshe Rabbeinu finished it. So many of the Svarim raise the following question. The Gemara in Chulin and Chav Tes has a shayla whether Yeshna l'shchita mitchila atzof or Eina l'shchita elabasof, no? Let's say I start shechting michutz la'azara and then you move into the azara. I'm sorry, I just hurt my arm. Then you move into the azara to finish the shchita. So if you hold Yeshna l'shchita mitchila atzof, so then you violated shchutei chutz. But behold, Eina l'shchita el basayif. So then you finish the shchita when you're inside the azara, and it's not considered an iser of shchutei chutz. That's what it says in the Gemara on Chavtes and Chulin. So the kasha is: how can you have Tzipora starting the mila and Moshe Rabbeinu finishing it off? Maybe mila also yeshna l'mila mitchila adsayif. That's the kasha that everyone asks. So they try to tray around, and they say, no, Mila is somehow different than Shchita. By Mila, the Yesod is only the Basof, because Hakafas Dambris also counts as Mila. That's what Rav Shlomo Kluger says. But according to approach three that we gave before with respect to Shlichos, everything is answered. Because approach three is saying that the mitzvah of Mila is not to do the cutting yourself. The mitzvah of Mila is to make sure that the baby is cut. If that's the case, so then it makes perfect sense why Moshe Rabbeinu could finish off the meal that Tzipora began. Because ultimately, as long as the baby is cut, al yedei kasher, it's going to be fine. So if you do the tiny bit at the very end, so therefore you are going to be yotze entirely. Again, I think this is another mahalach that the mitzvah of meal is a mitzvah on the totza'ah, like what Taisus says, by us in Avodah Zarah Chav Zayin, the Taisus Rit has in Kedushin, that the mitzvah is just to make sure the child is cut, so that can answer how Mila worked. Again, if you look over here in the Pisrei Tshuva in Source 6, so the first Pisrei Tshuva he quotes is that Shach in Shin Pei Beis, that your Mavata, the mitzvah's essay, if you have someone do the Mila for the father, and the Pisrei Tshuva Sivkot in Gimel, which is like four lines on the bottom, discusses whether Yeshna le Mila Mitzchila Atzayif or Eino Mila Elo Vasayif, and the Raya from our Gemara, I think, is clear. So we basically have a Shaila, whether women are Kshera Lamol, Bahalocha Lamaisa, we should not have a woman do Mila if there are men available to do it. Adkan Varenu, thank you for listening.
When the woman, just to go back to the beginning, when the woman raised that proof, quote unquote, from Tzipora,
yeah.
Did anybody quote her? The Gemara say that was not considered a proof?
Yes. I mean, this conference was I mean, this one was not Orthodox. I'll say it like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Type them up when you get home.